I love the Lord this morning because He is faithful. He keeps His promises. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. I love Him because He's my healer, my Savior, my Redeemer. All that I need is in Him. I love Him because there are times where you feel like giving up, going away, and He always gives you a reason to hold on. Anybody ever been there where you say, God, I just need one reason to hold on? I don't need a lot of reasons. Just give me one reason to hold on. Hallelujah. Just one. A little reason. Mustard seed reason. Hallelujah. And He's faithful. And He'll give you what that one reason. You know what? Sometimes the reason He gives me, He just says, I'm with you. Okay? If you're with me, that's a reason to hold on. Hallelujah. Because you never lose. Hallelujah. If you're with me, I always have the victory. The Bible is full of lessons for us. One of the lessons we're going to learn today is how to handle it when you are falsely accused. Isaiah 53 verse 7 is the text we'll be bringing our message from this morning. Speaks of Jesus. Here's what it says about Jesus. Innocent man who was falsely accused. Isaiah 53 verse 7 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to come together to sit with them that are sanctified, called by your name, purchased by your blood. We thank you for your presence that we sense in the room right now. We thank you, God, because we know whenever you show up, you have an agenda. There's something that you want to accomplish. So, God, we get out of the way this morning and we say, have your way. Do what you want to do in this place this morning. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us today. Give us clarity of thought and speech. Remove every distraction out of the way so that the truth of your word will be revealed in this place today. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I believe that one of the most important lessons that we can learn in life, and the sooner you learn it, the better, but one of the most important lessons you can learn is in life is when to speak and when to be silent. It's a tough lesson for many of us. It's harder for some of us than others. But I think if we are honest, all of us will admit that we've been in a situation, in an argument or a discussion, and we've said something, and the moment we said it, we wish we can put rewind, erase, delete. We immediately know you went too far. Shouldn't have said that. We wish we could take it back. It's a dangerous thing because relationships are destroyed because we say the wrong thing at the wrong time. If we would have just waited a couple of days or even 30 seconds, just completely process the thought before you speak it, then we could have saved ourselves some injury. We may have some of the friends we don't have anymore, we may still have them if we had learned how to control our tongue. Therapists and psychologists spend hours a week talking to children and adults who have been emotionally scarred because somebody in their life didn't know how to control their tongue. and said something to them 20 years ago, and that thing has put a scar in their emotion, and they're paying thousands of dollars a month trying to get over what somebody said to them 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That's why the Bible says that the tongue is a deadly poison. You got to watch your mouth. You know what? There are people who are in the grave right now because they said the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time. Come on, somebody. And so the adversary wants us to be in the place where we are loose with our tongue. Where we, if it comes to our mind, we say it. If we feel it, we say it, because we have a right to express how we feel. But I want you to know, a sign of maturity is to think it, feel it, but don't say it. Repeat after me. Think it, feel it, but don't say it. Let's do it again. Think it, feel it, but don't say it. When you go into work tomorrow and that person comes across you, think it, feel it, but don't say it. I'm trying to keep somebody employed this morning. You can think it, you can feel it, but don't say it. You can think whatever you want. You're right to feel it. But there's a danger when you say everything that you think. Now, there are times, however, when a reasonable person would conclude that this is not the time to be quiet. There are situations where reason says you need to say something. A reasonable person would say, if you are being oppressed, speak up. We say, speak power to the people, you know, speak truth to power. Thank you. Help me out. My rebel days are over, so I got to relearn the terminology. But when you say, if you're being oppressed, if you're being mistreated, that's the time to speak up. A reasonable person would say, if you're being afflicted or treated harshly, it's time to speak up. You shouldn't allow those things to happen, and you don't say anything. A reasonable person would say that if you're being falsely accused of something, that's a good time to speak up. A reasonable person would say you have to defend your reputation and don't let people spread lies about you. A reasonable person says that when it comes to your character and who you are, you need to speak up and tell the truth and don't allow people to spread lies about you. But the Bible says of Jesus, when he went through it, that he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We used to sing a song, to be like Jesus. Oh, how I long to be like him. But then we get to this verse and we say, I don't know. I'm a work in progress. I'm not sure if I can be oppressed and afflicted, being mistreated, being falsely accused. I don't know if I can stand there and say nothing. Jesus was being accused by the religious culture of blasphemy because he said that he was God. He was accused by Rome of treason because he wasn't loyal to the throne. Both of those accusations, if found guilty, were punishable by death. So a reasonable person would say that if you have been accused of something that could lead to your death and you didn't do it, this would be a good time to say something. A reasonable person would say, no, don't let them crucify you when you know you didn't do it. Can I tell you that it takes a special grace to be falsely accused, to be mistreated, and have the holiness of a closed mouth? Do y'all know that a closed mouth is holy? that sometimes the greatest power, the greatest demonstration of holiness and who God is in your life is to keep your mouth shut. It's 2018, so I have to add some stuff to that. So not only do you keep your mouth shut, but you don't allow your fingers to put stuff on Facebook. Closed mouth, but busy fingers. Huh? So let me clarify. Keep your mouth shut and your fingers still. Mouth shut, fingers still. It's a sign of maturity. It takes a special so grace. So when we look at Jesus, I wonder how is it that Jesus can endure what he endured? And the Bible says he opened not his mouth. Because there's a lesson in it. Because I think all of us know what it's like to be falsely accused, accused of doing something that we didn't do. And there are consequences for those accusations. But Jesus is teaching us some things here about how to handle it when we find ourselves in a situation when we're being mistreated and falsely accused. So when I look at this, I have discovered there are three reasons why Jesus was able to keep his mouth shut during this process. The first thing is because he trusted his executioners. He trusted his executioner. You should see the eyes that are rolling right now. The Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus was smitten by God and afflicted. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to death. Can I clarify some facts here? Rome didn't crucify Jesus. The religious community didn't crucify Jesus. The Bible says he was smitten by God, that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And guess what else he said? He said, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, man, Jesus realized that he was not in that situation because of Rome or the religious community. He realized that he was in that situation because it was the will of God, and he trusted God's will. This is heavy. This is heavy because we've got to know that nothing happens to a child of God unless God allows it. If a lie goes out about you, God allowed it. If you're being mistreated or oppressed or afflicted in any way, it is because the Lord allowed it. And we know that if God allows it, it's for our good and his glory. Come on. I know it's heavy, but the truth is that Jesus did not blame the people who were crucifying him for his situation. He realized that he was there because it was the will of the Lord. People can't execute you. When you realize that whatever's happened is the will of God for your life, and somehow God causes all things to work together for our good, it frees us from our need to defend ourselves against false accusation. when you realize nobody can do anything to you unless God permits it to be so. And if God permits it to be so, that means God is working something in me or out of me or through me, and I'm going to be better on the other side. I turn around and I thank the people who have lied on me. I thank you for mistreating me, because you put me in a position where I can be better, because I realize it was the Lord who allowed it to happen. Can I tell y'all the truth? I am better not just because of who treated me right, but I'm better because of the folks who treated me wrong. My faith is strong not because of all the people who support me. It's strong because of the people who don't support me, but God does it anyway. Yeah, every once in a while, you need to meet some opposition. Every once in a while, your faith has to be tested to the point where you have to trust that God, if you allow this to happen, is for my good and for your glory. So Jesus trusted his executor. Second reason he was able to keep quiet: he loved the guilty more than his reputation. He loved the guilty more than his reputation. The amazing thing about what Jesus did on the cross is that he had so much love for the people who were actively participating in his crucifixion. Here it is. Jesus loves these people as they are actively participating in his crucifixion. And he loved them so much that while they were killing him, he refused to kill them. Well, I might help somebody right here. Huh? They needed a sword and whips and chains to kill him. All he needed was to speak one word, die, and they're gone, all of them. But he loved them more than his need to defend his reputation. He looked at those who were actively participating in his death, and the Bible says he opened not his mouth. Can I tell you that you and I were inactive participants in his crucifixion? There were active participants who were there, but you and I were inactively participating in his crucifixion. Why? Because we are the reason he was there. And so, not only did he love those who were actively participating in his crucifixion, but he loved all of us who were inactively participating in his crucifixion. And he loved us more than his need to prove that he was right and everybody else was wrong. Here is the challenge. As believers, we are called to love people who actively or inactively participate in our crucifixion. We have got to decide that we love people more than our need to defend our reputation. Can I tell you, this ain't for the baby saint. This is for the mature believer. You've got to love people more than you love your need to prove that you were right. You got to love people more than your reputation. You've got to love people more than showing that you were on the right side and they were on the wrong side. Can I tell y'all something? I had not too long ago, somebody was spreading lies about me. And because I'm in the process of sanctification, I'm getting there. I'm not there yet, but my flesh rose up. And I got a plan together on what I was going to do to destroy them. Y'all laughing because y'all have had those plans too. Some of y'all got it in your journal. Huh? And here's the thing. They were trying to destroy me with a lie. I was going to destroy them with the truth. Because I'm going to teach y'all how to fight. The truth that I knew about them, the truth I knew about them was greater than the lie that they were spreading about me. If I said what I was going to say, put that out there, I wouldn't be lying and it would destroy them. But guess what I decided? I said, I love them more than I love my reputation. I know if they are doing that to me, that there's something spiritual happening in their life. And God has not called me to hurt. He has called me to be an instrument of reconciliation. So here is my point. If defending your reputation hurts people or prevents them from seeing who Jesus is, you must keep your mouth shut. Let me move on. Let me turn the page, huh? Because we are good at trying to defend our reputation. But what good is it if while defending your reputation, you embarrass the gospel of Jesus Christ? You cannot destroy somebody with your words and then go share your faith with somebody. Where do they do that at? What kind of church is that where we are okay with destroying people with one side of our mouth and lifting our hands saying how wonderful God is on the other side? The Bible says, how can blessings and cursing come out of the same mouth? It's either bitter or sweet. So Jesus says, no, I love you too much to say something that will destroy you. Here's the last point. So Jesus realized it was God's will that he was in that situation. He loved the guilty more than his reputation. But here's another reason, last reason why he was able to be quiet. Jesus had been given specific promises that he knew that God was going to keep. God made him a promise. Here's what Isaiah says. It says, he shall see his seed. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall prolong his days. See, Jesus had a promise in mind. And he realized that God is faithful to his promise. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God has made all of us some precious promises. But you can disqualify yourself from receiving those promises if you don't know how to control your tongue. Let me give you an example. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Here's a promise. The Lord will fight for you. Here's the qualification. You keep silent. If you want to receive the promise of God fighting for you, then your part is to keep silent. Because guess what? If you fight for you, God won't. If you defend you, God won't. If you destroy your enemies, God won't. Can I tell you, thank you, Lord. Can I tell you something else? If you go about destroying your enemies, you become an enemy of God. Because that's not your business. It's God's business to handle it. Here's the thing. You cannot have it your way. You cannot do things your own way, respond in your own way, and then expect God to do what he said he was going to do. There's a theory in the law that says you have to have clean hands. And so when you go into court and you want to present your case against someone, you can't go into court with dirty hands. have to have clean hands. You can't go into court and say, hey, I'm not being treated fairly. And then when we look in you and say, wait a minute, this isn't even a legal transaction. Here's an example. If you go out and you purchase some stolen goods and you know they're stolen and you were promised that these stolen goods work, and then you get home and those stolen goods don't work, you cannot go to court and say, hey, judge, I bought these stolen goods and they don't work. I need you to make him pay me my money back. You don't have clean hands. That was an illegal transaction. So when we go before God and we say, God, I need you to defend me. I'm being oppressed and afflicted, and I've been lied on, and I've been mistreated. And God said, yeah, but you lied back on them, and you've mistreated them. See, you cannot expect God to go to war for you if you are going to war for yourself. It is what it is, saints. Why is it that we get stuck in places? Because we still think that it's up to us to make it happen. And my brothers and my sisters, there are some things that are not going to change until God does something about it. And we have to be in the position where we are ready to receive the promises of God. Now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are times when we are to speak up. We are to defend the weak, the unfortunate. We are to defend those in our community who don't have a voice, who are not at the table and cannot speak for themselves. But oftentimes we use our voice to defend ourselves and defend our reputations. And God says, I haven't called you to defend your reputation. I have called you to be an instrument of my peace and my righteousness. And sometimes that means you have to take one for the team. Sometimes that means that you just have to let the lie stay out there, because guess what? No lie ever outlives the truth. Every lie has an end date. Hallelujah. But the truth is the truth, and it's always the truth. Because here's what I know. You can stand up because I'm almost done. If you go out and you try to defend yourself against a false accusation and you step outside of the will of God, it is no longer about what happened to you. Now it's about how you responded to what happened to you. Y'all hear what I said? You get to the place, if your response is wrong, even if you were mistreated, your response has caused you to sin, and you are disqualified from the help that God has for us. Points I want to make here, that we must love people more than our reputations. We must love people more than our need to prove that we are right. We must also understand that whatever God allows to happen is for our good and his glory. You know what else we need to do? We need to release people and stop blaming them for what has happened in our life. We are in the hand of God. And here is what I know. God always does what is good for us. If he allows it, it's for our good. Now, we're talking faith here. Because the world, the culture says, speak up, say something. And yes, there are times when we should. But you know what? We have a God who is on our side, and he has promised, glory to God, that he'll fight for us. Can I tell you, I'm so glad I didn't do what I had planned to do to that individual, because I could be in that situation where I'm struggling with something and I'm angry and I'm looking for somebody to blame, and then I'm in need of mercy, and then I ask for mercy and I'm reminded of the scripture that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God says, you weren't merciful, you can't obtain it. Oh, Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, forgive so that you can be forgiven. God, forgive me for what I've done. And he says, wait a minute. If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. Can I tell you, it is amazing to me how we can be so focused on our vertical relationship with God. And we say, yeah, I'm good with God. My relationship with God is good. But our horizontal relationships are all messed up. And you know what God says? He says, if you don't have fellowship with each other, you don't have fellowship with me. He says, if you say that you have fellowship with me, but you don't have fellowship with each other, you know what God calls you? A liar. Oh, I didn't call you that. God called you that in the word. What is he saying? He's saying that how you treat each other is a reflection of your relationship with me. If you can use words to curse each other, but then you want me to use words to bless you, there's something wrong. It's not how it works. Somebody in this room, you need to release somebody who you have held responsible for what has happened to you. And the word of the Lord is coming to you saying that it wasn't them. I allowed it for your good. I am your executor. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. The same God that allows us to be executed is also there for the resurrection. Hallelujah to God. Oh yeah, I'm glad that not only does he bruise, but he heals. Hallelujah to God. That not only is he a skillful surgeon that goes in and cuts you and pulls out whatever's in there that shouldn't be. He is also a skillful anesthesiologist that will allow you to go through it and not look like what you've been through. Oh, yeah, we serve a God who gets it fully covered. Let us pray. I want to pray for you this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask you for forgiveness this morning. For every word that we have spoken in the past that has hurt people. Forgive us for not exercising discipline and being considerate of other people's feelings. Forgive us for not using our words to bless, but to curse. And God, we ask you to give us the grace to go back to those individuals, if it is possible. Give us the grace to go back to them and apologize for how we have hurt them with our words. God, we ask you this morning to give us the grace to forgive every person who has said things to us or about us that has hurt us. In the name of Jesus, give us the grace to forgive. Whether they apologize or acknowledge it or not, give us the grace to let it go. Hallelujah. Yes, it hurt so deeply and we were angry, but God, we don't want it to be a stronghold in our lives anymore. So we forgive them for what they said and what they did. God, we thank you for teaching us this morning how to respond when we are afflicted or falsely accused. Give us the grace that we need to be faithful to the lessons that we have learned today, that we won't just be hearers of the word, but doers also. God, help us to love people more than our reputation. Help us to love the gospel more than proving that we are right. Help us to love your word than the word of our own mouth. Help us to know that whatever has happened to us, you allowed it for our good and for your glory. Finally, God, we say, help us not to disqualify ourselves from your promise by speaking when we should be silent. Give us the mastery over our own tongue, God, that we use our tongue in a way that gives you glory. Touch our hearts and our minds this morning. In the name of Jesus, we confess, we present ourselves to you. God, we need a healing this morning. Hallelujah. Heal us everywhere we are hurt, God. In the name of Jesus, release us from our past. In the name of Jesus, those words that were spoken to us, we declare that they will not hurt us anymore. Hallelujah. But we thank you, God, because you used it to build us, to make us strong, to make us what you have called us to be. I pray your presence in the life of every person who is in this room right now, that supernaturally you would heal them in this moment, God. That the next time they think about it, it won't feel the same. Hallelujah. The next time they are reminded of it, it will not rise up as if it just happened. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus, that we thank you, God, that we recognize in this moment that in the same way that words can hurt, words can also heal. So I pray, God, that you will put healing words in our mouth. Hallelujah. That when we speak, it will release healing to the places where people are hurting. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. One word destroys, but another word builds up. Hallelujah. Build us up with your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right where you are, just for 30 seconds, can you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Let the Lord speak to you right where you are. Let him speak to you. Hear his word this morning. His word of healing and hope and restoration. Whatever it is you need in this moment, he is here to do it. Yes, my sister, receive it. Hallelujah. You don't have to live hearing those words over and over again. I pray right now that God will silence the mouth of your accuser. The Bible promises, hallelujah, that that's what he will do, that every word that rises up against us, he will condemn. Hallelujah. I pray that you not hear that word anymore. Hallelujah. That you don't receive it anymore. Hallelujah. That it's not passed down anymore. That while you are sleeping, he is defending you. While you are resting in him, he is fighting for you. Hallelujah. While they are trying to tear you down, he is building you up. Hallelujah. You are in the hands of an almighty God who never makes a mistake, and he is molding you and making you in something greater than what you are right now. You are a vessel of honor being formed into the image of Christ. You are not what they say. You are what he says. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Whose report will you believe? Whose opinion will you believe? Hallelujah to God. We believe the report of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, call his name. Let's release his name in the atmosphere. Jesus. Jesus. Yes, yes. There's healing in that name. Jesus. There's power in that name. Jesus. Come on. Release his name in the atmosphere. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Yokes are destroyed in the name of Jesus. Strongholds come down in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We release his name in the atmosphere. Hear the Lord say, go for a walk and call his name. Hallelujah. Walk and call his name. Hallelujah. Walk around your office and call his name. Hallelujah. Walk around your home and call his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Call his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go into Walmart. Walk around Walmart and call his name. Go into Target and call his name. Go into Sam's Club and call his name. Let his name be heard in the atmosphere. Everywhere we go, we have to call his name as we reestablish territory. It is established through his name. Hallelujah. Whisper his name. Hallelujah. Glory to him. Glory to him. The devil don't want you to say his name. Hallelujah. He wants you to be quiet. But we say his name. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And we love him. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. And there's nobody like him. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I love your name. I love the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to dismiss, but if you need prayer today, meet us here at this altar. Let us pray with you today. Leave here with power and victory.